It's not like homelessness is a new issue, but it certainly continues to rise as a discussion and debate topic. The mayor of Eugene has been talking about addressing street people anew. The cities of Portland and Los Angeles recently announced the spending of millions of dollars on programs to get homeless people off the streets. And Arcata just opened a supportive housing development called Arcata Bay Crossing. It's the work of several agencies, including Arcata House Partnership, where Karen Fox Olson is the executive director and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. And no longer on the phone, it appears. We'll have to get her hooked up again. So the basic idea behind what goes on at Arcata House Partnership is the housing first concept, where people are given homes first and then the rest of the issues are dealt with later on, which is a bit counter to what happens in some communities where the idea is you solve people's other problems like their addictions to substances, if those exist and stuff like that, and then you talk about getting them into permanent housing. With the Housing First program, you deal with the housing first. So that is the general idea behind what goes on. That is the general approach of Arcata House Partnership, where, again, Fox Olson is the executive director. And now on the line once again. Hi, Fox.
Good morning. This is Fox.
Thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much for having us and giving us the opportunity to talk about our services here in Arcata.
Well, I gather there is quite an array of services dealing with homelessness throughout Humboldt County. Give us a sketch, if you would.
Well, I can for sure talk about our agency and what we've done. We're entering 25 years of service to helping homeless people get housed here in Arcata and the Northern Bay. And we have transitional family shelter, and we have a family shelter for our single individuals. We also run a permanent supportive housing program that's called Apartments First. We have a little food outreach taco truck, and that's our CalFresh outreach truck, and we serve lunch here 4 days a week.
The supportive housing and the idea of housing first, let's work at these in pieces. Housing first, I was just describing when we were getting you back on the phone, the general idea being you get people under a roof before you start dealing with the other stuff. I mean, you just get them under a roof, right?
That's right. That's right. Well, when you talk with homeless people on the streets like we do in the point in time or when we bring people into shelter, what do people want really but a house, you know? Unfortunately, many of our shelters have barriers to getting people into housing. And so sometimes people with psychiatric or physical disabilities or AOD, alcohol and other drug issues, they're screened out from getting into services. And what we have found since 2004 when we've been running this Housing First Permanent Supportive Housing Program is that once people get in and get the feeling of safety and security and develop a relationship with a case manager who comes in and checks on them, they start to kind of unfold like a little butterfly, and things start to happen for people and people start to ask for help.
When you talk about supportive housing, what kinds of support are given?
Well, first of all, the clients, we work with the clients to have a choice to find out what kind of apartment might work for them. And most of our folks that have been on the street really don't need a palatial estate. But what they're looking for is a room to call their own and a place to cook. And, of course, a bathroom is kind of critical. So we work with the clients to figure out what might work with them, for them. And then we go ahead, we accept donations here at our organization, and then we go ahead and make sure that clients kind of have what they need to set up housekeeping. And so we move in beds, and we have pots and pans, and we have towels and sheets. And then, of course, people bring in their own things that they have that they've collected. And so the case manager starts to visit. And maybe somebody has a bum foot, let's say, because they've been walking around on bad shoes on the street for many years. And the case manager might say, gee, I know a doctor that could help you, you know, take a look at that foot. And the person might say, no, it's not that bad. And so we just kind of offer services. And then finally somebody says, yeah, you know what, I think I would like to talk to somebody. And then that person that's housed can develop a relationship with the doctor. And then they might say, gee, you know, I've been suffering for a long time. I hear voices. And do you know about how you could help me? And so a lot of our clinics here help our folks with psychiatric disabilities, or we refer folks to county mental health. So it's a process, and it's a process to talk to people about reducing their drinking or, you know, reducing smoking. So we just kind of offer services and see what people nibble at and then work from there.
It sounds almost like a thaw, and I'm being metaphorical here, not literal, but the sense of coming in from the cold, and that's a little more literal, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But did you finally get into realize, oh, I can be part of a community again. There are things available to me.
That's right. And so one of the things our program does always emphasize is getting people back integrated into the community. You know, we kind of want to look at people mentally and physically, and I always call it spiritually or a passion. And so we kind of want to make sure that people are operating on all of those areas. You're feeling as best as you can, and your mental health is as best as it could be. And then something that drives you, that encourages you, or makes you want to get up and have a day at it. So sometimes our folks go to church. Sometimes our folks develop other hobbies. Sometimes they go to lunch at the senior luncheon. So whatever, you know, kind of makes you start to be part of the community again is what we encourage.
Fox Olson is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about getting homeless people off the streets under a Housing First, or in this case, Apartments First program. She is the executive director of the Arcata House Partnership, which is involved with the Arcata Bay Crossing, which we have yet to talk about. You can join us on the Exchange, 800-838-3760, our phone number. Maybe you have stories about homelessness efforts in your community, or you've been homeless yourself. We'd like to hear from you. 800-838-3760, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. When you talk about the supportive services, Fox, it sounds like it might be fairly labor and cash intensive.
Well, I guess I would say that, services in general are, life is expensive. I always think the $100 paint job is, and it costs $500. So, I mean, the truth of the matter is, if you're paying for somebody to go through the emergency room, or somebody's in a revolving door at the jail, someone's in problems with law enforcement, these are costs to the community as well. So actually, in the long run, it's economically more feasible to house somebody and deliver services. We have somebody in the house at least once a week. Some of our clients that have been with us for a long time do phone check-ins. We actually have clients that are aging in their housing right now, and some of our clients, it comes up that they need specialty referrals that they've never been able to go maybe and see, for example, the orthopedic surgeon because they weren't good at keeping appointments. So the intensity of services varies, but certainly it falls off as people become more secure and more confident in their housing.
And how many people do you serve at Arcata House, and how much staff do you need?
Well, we have a staff of three people, and they share a variety of clients. We have about 28 clients, I think, right now. We actually have a couple families that have children, because when we worked with Housing and Urban Development, we help them realize that some of our families have a long history of being homeless and that they need the supports that come with permanent supportive housing. So we have two families with two kids, but the majority of our folks are single and been on the streets for a long time. And when I say chronically homeless, what that means is they might have been in an apartment or they might have rented a room, and for whatever reason, they failed out of that and went homeless again. So our folks that we're working with have this kind of history of not being able to maintain a place. But, you know, when we send in one of our staff and we say, gee, John, it looks like you need some help getting out the trash today, or how's it going with getting your laundry organized, and can we walk it over to the laundromat here? When we kind of work with people about what their needs are, they really succeed and they really shine.
Does anybody flunk out? I mean, can you be removed from the Apartments First program?
Well, I think the deal breaker for us, of course, would be someone who has a propensity or someone who becomes violent. I think that's kind of always something that is scary and that we shy away from. But we do seem to give people a lot of chances. One of the things that's really important to me when I'm working with a variety of folks here is that if people do kind of mess up, we give people the chance to recommit to the program and tell us how it's going to be different. And sometimes people do have a pretty serious issue with drugs or alcohol, and so we talk to people about trying to reduce the drinking or not drink in the morning when a case manager is coming, and you know, what the day would look like if we maybe attended an AA meeting. And so we offer people a variety of choices and we do have people that flunk out, of course, like any program, but oftentimes, if it's not the right apartment, then we try a different location. And sometimes working with people while they're not housed in our program, and we keep connected with them and they keep coming back, and then people kind of realize what their part is, what they need to do to maintain their housing. And so I would say that sometimes if people don't make it in the program, we stick with them, and then things change.
It seems like there's one of the, and I'm surprised you're able to do this with three full-time staff, but you have to be able to be aware of a lot of individual differences client to client, it would seem like. You know, this person needs this in the morning, this person needs to be reminded of their medication this time of day, that sort of thing.
Well, yes and no. I mean, again, I think one of the things that I always remind myself working with homeless people is almost everybody's lived in a house. So maybe people don't exactly have my standard of cleaning up a house, but you know, if you give people a broom or you say to people, here's a toilet brush, most people have done those kind of things. It's just I guess one of the things that I always think about is our folks that are with us will probably be with us for a long time. It's permanent supportive housing. And so if we can act as their eyes and ears and kind of reflect back to those folks, they get it. They pick up what's the right thing to do, and they succeed.
Fox Olson, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Arcata House Partnership Executive Director. We're talking about dealing with homelessness with the Housing First approach, and it's Apartments First in Arcata. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Arcata Bay Crossing just opened recently, is that right?
That's right. We had a grand opening in the first week of October, and Arcata House was able to house four chronically homeless disabled adults in that program. And we also coordinated and worked closely with the county mental health. They have some mental health services dollars, and they were able to house some folks over there. So it was quite exciting. It was very exciting to have a project that was about 4.5-5 years in the making. And really, it's hats off to Humboldt Housing, which is our local housing developer here, because they were the ones that, you know, applied for the grants and kept at it and figured out what the rents needed to be to make the program work. It's about 33 units, and the city of Arcata reduced its standards. So the units are actually about 150 square feet. So it, I guess I would say, think tiny, tiny apartment. But if you're a person who's been on the street, what do you need? You need a bed, maybe a little table to have some breakfast with a chair. And then there's a closet, and we have a small kitchenette. All of the bathrooms on the downstairs floor are ADA accessible. So wide doors, able to roll into the bathroom and grab bars. So that's pretty exciting, because there are many folks on the street that need that accessibility to a bathroom.
So, wow, 150 square feet. How much of a difference was that from what Arcata's usual standards are on minimum size?
You know, I'm not really sure. And actually, I had forgotten that Arcata had kind of led the way to saying, let's reduce the size of the apartments. But it really is big enough for a person to call home. It really is what our single folks have told us that they want. They want to be able to, you know, wake up and not have to deal with anybody else and be able to go in and use the bathroom at the amount of time that they need without somebody knocking on the door, which happens frequently at shelters. But it's big enough.
The general run of what's available then, services available through Arcata House. You talk about 28 clients who serve, and I assume you're not including the folks, the four you mentioned at Arcata Crossing, Arcata Bay Crossing.
Well, those folks have now entered into our permanent supportive housing program. So, yeah, they're counted in that 28. Mm-hmm. We're in the process of redesigning our emergency shelter. We're now calling that our adult shelter. And one of the things I think that we're going to be doing, we were last year taking out about 20 people every day out to our facility on Boyd Road from Arcata. And I think what we're feeling, the board and the staff, is that we want to decrease that number, work with maybe 8 to 10 men and 4 women, and work on getting them housed, and then get another batch of people in to get housed. So we're kind of rethinking our night shelter, our adult shelter. And then in Arcata, we have 4 shelters that are 4 houses that are set up for families. So at any given time, we have about 10 to 12 families that are in the process of working towards getting housed. And we're working with them on broadcasting applications and looking at their credit reports and saving money so that after 3 to 6 months with us, they should be able to launch into their own house or apartment.
The question I was driving at, though, was whether there's a wait list. It sounds like for the kinds of services you offer, there probably are.
Yes. Yeah. There's a wait list, and it's difficult. I think there's a wait list in general in every community and county. There just do not seem to be enough services for folks. There's a wait list.
Particularly, Fox, for the Housing First approach, I know that some larger communities are certainly doing this. Seattle, I believe, might have been one of the first. I know,
sure.
I think Salt Lake City's been doing it, which surprised a lot of people because it's a conservative area, but they discovered, hey, look, you know, it's a lot easier to get people into houses and actually a lot cheaper all around. Is it a slow concept to catch on, though, Housing First?
I would say that it's been happening since 2002 or 2003, and I think if people are interested, they can Google Housing First, or they can go on the National Alliance to End Homelessness. There's been a lot of studies showing that, given the supports, people do succeed. So I don't know. I don't think it's that new of a concept, but I think people are compassionate, and I think people that are housed have a hard time understanding what went so wrong for a person that they're on the street now and that they don't have family members to call or that they don't have enough money to eat. And so I think people really want to do the right thing and help people that are less fortunate in their community get housed.
What I mean, are some of the drivers that send people into homelessness in the first place, they're still there, it seems like. I mean, I'm going to look at things like the mismatch between the fact that real estate prices never seem to go down and wages never particularly seem to go up. It seems like this is potentially a greater issue for more people over time.
I think so. I think also there are other issues. Certainly people that have had trouble maintaining their housing before, either because of mental health challenges or alcohol and other drugs. I mean, Arcata, Eureka, this whole area has a high propensity for drug activity, I think, due to the marijuana industry. So that's definitely a problem. But for our folks, I think you're right. Being financially frail and not being able to kind of get a toehold into saving up money so that people have a deposit. We find that domestic violence is a reason why many of our particular single moms peel off from a relationship and go homeless. So there's a variety of reasons. Sometimes people move to the area expecting family to help them, and then families say, well, you can't stay here forever with us. So, yeah, we do need more entry-level jobs and jobs that pay better once you get some training. And we do need more housing in general. But one of the things that I am proud about in living in Arcata is that we do seem to have projects, I learned to call them projects in the pipeline. So we have a facility near our co-op called Plaza Point, and that is a 3-story building that's got solar panels on the top like the ABC house, and that was built for senior disabled folks. And so that was completed, and we have small little houses for first-time home buyers. So if you have somebody that's renting a house and can move into a first-time home buyer's house, it does free up more housing for people. But we do need more supportive housing. We do need more housing to be built, of course. And, like that.
I'm not going to say you find this fun, but you certainly seem to have a lot of enthusiasm for what you do.
Yeah, I think that Ms. Fox has two speeds. It's kind of stop and go. So, but I am very excited about the Arcata Bay crossing, and, you know, hats off to Housing Humboldt because they really did pull it through, and hats off to the city of Arcata for, you know, looking at properties and thinking about what's available. So we just need to encourage all of the jurisdictions, and as advocates for our homeless folks, we need to be saying to our elected officials, what are we building? What is going to work, you know, for our community? Do we need more low-income single-room occupancy places? Do we need more housing for seniors? Do we need to build some small starter houses for folks so that they can get out of their rental and get into owning a home? But we just need to be pushing for more housing. That's how we can end homelessness. We can make people's day great by giving them a muffin or a sandwich, but we can change somebody's life by giving them a set of keys.
It's kind of like the difference between giving somebody a fish and teaching them how to fish.
Right. I think it's a little bit like that.
Did you have people from all over the county at the Arcata Bay Crossing opening just to kind of get an idea of what it's all about?
We did. We did. Mm-hmm. We had elected officials, of course, from the city of Arcata, and we had some our Board of Supervisors representative, Mark Lovelace, was there too. And we actually had some folks from the City Council in Eureka because they're struggling about what their next steps are. So I was excited to show them.
All right. Lots more to learn for all of us. And we learned a bunch today. Fox Olson is the executive director at Arcata House, and Arcata House involved with Arcata Bay Crossing. Thank you so much for joining us today in the exchange.
You guys have a great day up there, and thank you for calling us.
All right. Take care.